I should stand up and get some exercise.
Paramahansa Paramahacharya All Sutta Satashi Shimad His Divine Grace Abhaya Chananada Bhaktivedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Gujar Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Gujar Anantakoti
Vaishnava Vrinda Gujar Namacharya Srila Huyidas Thakur Gujar Vrin Sekaho
Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha
Shiva Sadi Gaur Vakta Vrinda Gajai Shri Shri Krishna Gopadath
Shayam Kundu Madhavunda Giri Govardhan Gajai Vrindavanam Gajai Maturidam Gajai Jagadatha Sami Gajai Yamunamai Gajai Shimadi Lhatsi Devi Gajai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Gajai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol. All glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Gijai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharani Nivashesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deja Tarani. So, Homagana Timidanda Shaganjana Shilakaya Chakshur and Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. Okay? So, we're going to get on to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and then we'll chant Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktivinoda, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktivinoda, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktivinoda. So we're on the seventh chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita still, dealing with the five factors of the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Panchatattva. Okay, and we're starting with text 97 today. And these are very wonderful. I hate to use the word ecstatic, but I like to use the word ecstatic. Let me share the screen. All right. There we go. Just give me 1 second to get set up. So the screen isn't blocked, and so we are able to see if anyone raises their hand in the meantime. It'll take just 1 second, Vito. All right. That's good. I think we got it. Great. Okay. So as we've mentioned before, that if you want to ask a question, you're going to ask in the middle by raising your hand in the participant window. Otherwise, I'm going to be reading. So Krishna Name Yayananda Sindhu Ashwadana Ramananda Tarage Hato Daka Sama. Compared to the ocean of transcendental bliss, the one tastes by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, the pleasure derived from impersonal Brahman realization, Brahmananda, is like the shallow water in a canal. In other words, there's no comparison. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, 1.1.38, it is stated, Brahmando bhavati shachet Rarda Guni Krita Naiti Bhakti Shukambode Paramanatulamapi. If Brahmananda, the transcendental bliss derived from understanding impersonal Brahman, were multiplied a million times, such a quantity of Brahmananda would not compare with even an atomic portion of the pleasure relished in pure devotional service. So basically, the pleasure relished in Brahmananda is the pleasure by realizing that comes by realizing your spirit soul, and you're not actually this body. You're liberated. And that's a great pleasure. That is a relief. That's sort of like Buddhism. Not exactly the same. Not exactly the same. Because in Buddhism, you have these four noble truths. That material world is suffering. Suffering is caused by attachment. Give up the attachment, and suffering goes away. And that's basically their liberation. And of course, they advocate the Eightfold Path, that's the fourth noble truth, as a methodology to give up the suffering. In other words, and give up the attachment. In other words, our attachment causes the suffering, and also causes whatever we perceive as enjoyment in this world. And our attachment is pretty stupid. If I told you, oh my God, I gotta mention this, but if I told you to get I will mention it. Every time I say I won't mention it, I do mention it. So if I told you to get attached to a bag of the most impure substances imaginable, you would say, yuck. And just like this morning, I was going to Mangalarti. And I walked out the door, and there was a skunk there. For those of you who don't know what skunks are, those of you in Australia, New Zealand, Fiji, and other places in the world, you don't have so many skunks. You don't have any skunks. A skunk is an animal that is so smelly that if you touch it, you will not be able to go to work for about 3 weeks, no matter how much you wash yourself or you wash your clothes. And even then, it's going to be really smelly. So a skunk is bad, but these bodies are like skunk bodies because they're repositories of substances that are cannot be mentioned in this class. And these substances come out every day. And they're being kept in this body until they're ready to come out. I think you understand what I mean. That is pretty disgusting. Anyway, so the point is, what sort of pleasure can you get from that? The pleasure you get is the illusory pleasure. Like one gets the pleasure from playing a video game. Yes, yeah, sure, you get an adrenaline rush when you're playing a video game. You think you've won. You think you've gained mastery over the universe or whatever you're playing. However, it's all an illusion. Because you cannot gain mastery over anything. Krishna ekala Ishra Krishna adasabda. But it's Krishna is the only Ishra. So you're never a master. Of course, you may say, I want to be the master of my senses. But that's only done when Krishna gives you the ability, when Krishna gives you the intelligence, when Krishna gives you the strength. Krishna actually says that, and the strength of the strong, the ability of man, the intelligence of the intelligent. It's all Krishna. So Twat Sakshat Karanalada Vishudadbi Stitashyame Sukhani Ghosh Padayante Brahmanyapi Jagat Guru Guru. My dear Lord, O Master of the Universe, since I have directly seen you, my transcendental bliss has taken the shape of a great ocean. Being situated in that ocean, I now realize all other so-called happiness to be like the water contained in the hoofprint of a calf. In other words, insignificant. The transcendental bliss enjoyed in pure devotional service is like an ocean, whereas material happiness and even the happiness to be derived from the realization of the impersonal Brahman are just like water in the hoofprint of a calf. This is a verse from the Hari Bhakti Sudo Doya, 1436. So in other words, the happiness from Brahman, again, it's like a relief. Ooh, no more birth, death, disease, and old age. No more adiatmik, adivodik, adidaivik. What is that? Adiatmik, adivodik, and adidaivik? Those are the threefold miseries. Miseries from one's own mind. Ooh, and body. I don't know if any of you experienced, but when your blood sugar goes down, 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 you get pretty grumpy and depressed. And when it goes up to a certain extent, you know, it goes up too high, you're in a coma, baby, you know. Anyway, so when it goes up too high, you're in a coma, but when it goes up a little high, you get really happy. And you start jumping around, manic it's called. Just like I remember when I first joined the Krishna Conscious Movement around the year 1532. Of course, that would have meant I saw Lord Chaitanya. But anyway, when I first joined the Krishna Conscious Movement, we had these things called Sunday feasts. And the Sunday feasts were, let's say, mostly sugar stuff. So after the Sunday feast, the Brahmacharis had all eaten the Sunday feast and pigged out on sugar. They were really lively. I remember the kirtan, after eating the Sunday feast, we were bouncing off the walls. We actually needed padded walls in the temple so they wouldn't hurt each other. But it was really like, wow. Anyway, I won't mention the word I was going to mention. So anyway, it was wow. The men, not the women. The women were scared. They were just like in the corner. Oh my God, is this a football game? Or is this a kirtan? They couldn't believe. So anyway, so they were very lively. That shows how the body gets influenced by MA. We, the soul, even gets influenced by the changes in the body. So anyway, and then the next morning when the blood sugar was down, everybody was miserable as anything. We needed to just give antidepressants to the whole brahmacharya ashram. No, we didn't actually do that. So anyway, so when we're controlled by the body, it's just such a miserable situation. It's like being on a roller coaster all the time. When the moon is full, we become lunatics. That's why crazy people call them lunatics. Luna means moon. So anyway, we're influenced by all these external things and so frustrated. We just want to be happy and Krishna conscious and have the strength to serve Krishna. But it's not happening because we're controlled by this body. So Brahman realization means, woo, I'm no longer controlled by the body, sonny. And you get out and enjoyment. But it's like a negative type of enjoyment. In other words, you're negating the suffering, so you're enjoying. Lord Chaitanya gave that example. They used to punish people by putting them in the water and then bringing them out when they were almost dead from suffocation. I guess in the water you wouldn't call it suffocation, you call it drowning. When they were almost dead, they'd be brought out from lack of oxygen. And so they thought, well, this is nice breathing. So that's like the Brahman realization. But we are interested in Bhagawan realization, in which one gets to exchange loving mellows with Krishna. Okay. Praburamishta Vakyasuni Sanyasira Gana Chitafiri Gelad Kahe Mathura Vachana. After hearing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the Mayavadi sannyasis were moved. That means emotionally moved. Their minds changed, and thus they spoke with pleasing words. So the Mayavadi sannyasis met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Varanasi to criticize the Lord regarding his participation in the Sankirtan movement, which they did not like. This demoniac nature of opposition to the Sankirtan movement perpetually exists. As it existed in the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, similarly, it existed long before that, even in the time of Prahlad Maharaj. He used to chant in Sankirtan, although his father did not like it. And that was the reason for the misunderstanding between the father and son. That's an interesting word, misunderstanding. In the Bhagavad Gita, conflict. 7:15, I don't think that conflict could have been mitigated by mediation. The Lord says, Namam duskritino mutha pravajante naradama maya pratigyana asuram bhavam ashrita. Those miscreants who are grossly foolish, who are lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me. The Mayavadi sannyasis are asuram bhavam ashrita, which means they have taken the path of the asuras, demons, who do not believe in the existence of the form of the Lord. The Mayavadis say that the ultimate source of everything is impersonal, and in this way they deny the existence of God. Saying that there's no God is direct denial of God, and saying that God exists but has no head, legs, or hands, and cannot speak, hear, or eat, is a negative way of denying his existence. A person who cannot see is called blind. One who cannot walk is called lame. One who has no hands is called helpless. And one who cannot speak is called dumb. And one who cannot hear is called deaf. The Mayavadi's proposition that God has no legs, no eyes, no ears, and no hands is an indirect way of insulting him by defining him as blind, deaf, dumb, lame, helpless, etc. Therefore, although they present themselves as great Vedantists, they are factually Maya Pratyana. In other words, they seem to be very learned scholars, but the essence of their knowledge has been taken away. Impersonalist Mayavadis always try to defy Vaishnavas because Vaishnavas accept the Supreme Personality as the Supreme Cause and want to serve him, talk with him, and see him, just as the Lord is also eager to see his devotees and talk, eat, and dance with him. These personal exchanges of love do not appeal to the Mayavadi sannyasis. Therefore, the original purpose of the Mayavadi sannyasis Benares in meeting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was to defeat his personal conception of God. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, however, as a preacher, turned the minds of the Mayavadi sannyasis. They were melted by the sweet words of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and thus became friendly and spoke to him in, also in sweet words. Similarly, all preachers will have to meet opponents, but they should not make them more inimical. They are already enemies, and if we talk with them harshly or impolitely, their enmity will merely increase. We should therefore follow in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as far as possible and try, unless it's a problem with if the chat window is only if there's a problem with the sound. Oh, it's not broadcasting on Facebook. That is strange. Wait a second. It's supposed to be. Thank you. Thank you for pointing that out. It's supposed to be broadcasting on Facebook. Let me just check. Huh? I see it on Facebook.
Thank you. Thank you for pointing that out.
See? It is. It's broadcasting on Facebook. There's 12 people.
It's supposed to be broadcasting on Facebook.
There's 12 people watching it on Facebook right now. Maybe you're on the wrong. Oh, you're probably on the wrong Facebook channel. It's BK Goswami Das, not Bir Krishna Das Goswami. Yeah, it's BK Goswami Das Facebook page, not my other page, Bir Krishna Goswami. I have two Facebook pages. And if you can't see it on Facebook, you can always go to YouTube. It's on my Bir Krishna Goswami YouTube channel. So you just have to go to the right channel on Facebook. Anyway, thank you for trying to point that out. So we should always try to defeat all the enemies of the Lord. Actually, I just want to mention one thing in the beginning here. Let me just paste down. Whoops. Okay, yeah, this is what I want to mention. That is actually quite interesting, and this was pointed out in a conversation I listened to this morning that Srila Prabhupada had on a morning walk. The devotees were relating how one time they went to a Muslim village and they received so nicely and they distributed prasadam and people were chanting. And Prabhupada said, yes, innocent people, they will receive us. And he said, we are getting more opposition from the Hindus than we do from the Muslims. And I was thinking about that. And it's actually a fact. For example, there's one country which I cannot mention, otherwise they probably will never let me into the country, where they don't, it's a Hindu country, and they do not let Hare Krishnas come in unless you're in disguise. Once you're in, you're okay. Because the Hindus complained And Prabhupada gave the example that it was Hindus who tried to break down the temple in Mumbai. Yeah, Mr. Nair's wife, and all of his associates, they were not Muslims. They were Hindus. So this movement is approachable by everybody. It doesn't matter what their religious designation is. That's really important. And also, it doesn't matter what their religious designation is. They may be our enemies. That's a fact. I mean, some of the most despicable philosophies come from Hinduism, like God is just a light. Muslims don't say God is just a light. You know, they understand he's a person, at least. And what's another philosophy? Oh, yeah, that the karma mimamsa philosophy. You just have, doesn't matter, there ain't no God. Or even if there was a God, he is controlled by your actions. This is worse. It's worse than any other religion, basically. So it's not that everything in the name of Hinduism is good. Some things may be good, some things may be bad. Like any religion. Okay, let's continue. Yay, kachu kahile to me, sabasacha hai ha, Krishna prema se paya, yara bhag yo toya. Dear Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what you have said is all true. Only one who is favored by fortune attains love of Godhead. One who is actually very fortunate can begin Krishna consciousness as stated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Srila Rupa Goswami. Brahmanda brahmate kona bhakyo vanjeev guru Krishna prasade bhai bhakti lata bhish. Basically what this verse means, it's from the Majjhalila 19th chapter, text 151, that the living entity is wandering all over the universe, or universes. And somehow or other, when he becomes fortunate, he gets Krishna by the mercy of the spiritual master. He comes in contact with a pure devotee, and he gets the seed of the creeper of devotion. And when that seed of the creeper of devotion is watered, then it grows taller and taller and pierces through the covering of the material world and ends up at Krishna's lotus feet, where it offers flowers to Krishna's lotus feet. So it all starts when we're fortunate enough to come in contact with a pure devotee. And why do we come in contact with a pure devotee? Krishna guides us and guides the pure devotee to us. Nothing happens by accident. There are millions of living entities who have become conditioned by the laws of material nature, and they are wandering throughout the planetary systems of this universe in different bodily forms. Among them, one who is fortunate meets a bona fide spiritual master by the grace of Krishna and comes to understand the meaning of devotional service. By discharging the devotional service under the direction of the bona fide spiritual master. That means, those of you who don't know what bona fide, that's old English, basically. It's not used so much anymore. That means, you know, the one who is actually qualified, real, and follows strictly. Anyway, there's so many different definitions, but he's the real thing. That's a way to say it, of the real thing, spiritual master. Or acharya, he develops love of Godhead. One whose love of Godhead, Krishna, prema is awakened and thus becomes a devotee of the inconceivable Supreme Personality of Godhead is to be considered extremely fortunate. I said that on purpose, improper pronunciation. The Mayavadi sannyasis admitted this fact to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is not easy for one to become a Krishna conscious person, but by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can be possible, as will be proven in the course of this narration. In fact, it's very difficult to be Krishna conscious. Durlabham manasya janma tadap dhruvam arthanam. It's even difficult to become a human being, what to speak of being Krishna conscious. So this is an interesting conversation. Krishna bhakti kara Yuhaya Sabara Santosha. Vedanta na shuna kene tarakiba dosha. Dear sir, there is no objection to your being a great devotee of Lord Krishna. Everyone is satisfied with this. But why do you avoid discussion on the Vedanta Sutra? What is the fault in it? In other words, they changed their opinion a little bit. Previously, they were criticizing, why are you just chanting and dancing with a bunch of low-class people? And now they're saying, yeah, that's all right, you're doing these things. You have no problem with it. So they're starting to melt. But why don't you also study Vedanta a little bit? Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments in this connection, Mayavadi sannyasis accept that the commentary by Sri Shankaracharya, known as Sariyavakya Bhasha, gives the real meaning of the Vedanta Sutra. In other words, Mayavadi sannyasis accept the meanings expressed in the explanations of the Vedanta Sutra by Shankaracharya, which are based on monism. Everything is one. That's what monism means. Thus, they explain the Vedanta Sutra, the Upanishads, and all such Vedic literatures in their own impersonal way. The great Mayavadi sannyasi, Sadananda Yogindra, has written a book known as Vedanta Sara, in which he writes, Vedanta nama Upanishad pramanam tad upakarani sariraka sutradani cha. According to Sadananda Yogindra, the Vedanta Sutra and Upanishads is presented by Sri Shankaracharya in his Sarirakya Bhasha commentary are the only sources of Vedic evidence. Actually, however, Vedanta refers to the essence of Vedic knowledge, and it is not a fact that there is nothing more than Shankaracharya's Sarirakya Bhasha. There are other Vedanta commentaries written by Vaishnavacharyas, none of whom follow Sri Shankaracharya or accept the imaginative commentary of his school. Their commentaries are based on the philosophy of duality. Duality means two. There's God and there's us. Like that. Us and God. We're not going to become God. God's not going to become us. But it gets a little more sophisticated than that, than just duality. There's duality and oneness simultaneously, which is called the Chitta-Bheda-Bheda-Tattva. That we are one in quality with God. We are part and parcel of God. But we have our separate identity. We're God's energy. The Jiva Shakti. Manas philosophers, like Shankaracharya and his followers, want to establish that God and the living entity are one. And instead of worshiping a supreme personality of God, they present themselves as God. It's pretty bad God. They want to be worshipped as God by others. Such persons do not accept the philosophies of the Vaishnavacharyas, which are known as Shuddha Dvaita, that means purified monism, Shuddha Dvaita, purified dualism, Vishishta Dvaita, specific monism, Dvaita Dvaita, monism, and dualism. And Achintya Beta Beta, which I just mentioned. Inconceivable oneness and difference. It's pretty much similar, all these different manifestations of the philosophy of Vaishnava philosophy. Mayavadis do not discuss these philosophies, for they are firmly convinced of their own philosophy of Kevala Dvaita. It is only one, which Prabhupada describes here as exclusive oneness or monism. Accepting this system of philosophy as the pure understanding of the Vedanta Sutra, they believe that Krishna has a body made of material elements in the scent, and the activities of loving service to Krishna are sentimentality. Rascals. Their Vedanta study is sentimentality. They are known as Mayavadis because, according to their opinion, Krishna has a body made of Maya. And the loving service of the Lord executed by devotees is also Maya, or illusion. They consider such devotional activities to be an aspect of fruit of activities, karma kanda. According to their view, bhakti consists of mental speculation and sometimes meditation. This is the difference between the Mayavadi and Vaishnava philosophies. And actually, bhakti is from the heart. Bhakti is executed with the heart. It's not mental speculation or karma kanda activities. It's from the heart. We love Krishna, and our heart flows to Krishna. Our attention flows to the Krishna, just like the rivers flow to the ocean. That's what Lord Kapiladeva says about pure devotional service or devotional service in Shuddha Shaiva. Gay Bran Govinda, you have a question. Okay?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, please accept my obeisances. All glories to Prabhupada.
All glories to Prabhupada. So what's the question?
Question is, this is a beautiful purport. I was listening. And the way you read also very attractive. You make us stay awake. Thank you.
Trying to make myself.
What benefit Krishna gets by performing a pastime that he got a shot by the hunter on his toes and leave the world like a ordinary, so that Mayavadi can speculate? What benefit? I'm just trying to meditate on it.
Well, it's not actually a benefit that Krishna gets. What Krishna does, he has this illusory pastime, which you call Moksha Leela, not I call.
Right.
Moksha Leela. It's an illusory pastime. Why? Because Krishna says that basically he's fulfilling people's desire. He gives them intelligence, remembrance, and forgetfulness according to their desires. So he's giving them an excuse, just like he gives scientists or mundane scientists, let us say, improper knowledge or improper reasoning power, so they come to the wrong conclusions. Because they want to avoid God. If you want to avoid God, you want to be a Mayavadi, you want to be an offender, Krishna gives you facility. Guess who the best atheist is? The best atheist is Krishna. Why do we say that? Because Krishna gives the atheists all their philosophy. So he gives facility. Yayata mam pajante tamsadaiva pajamiham. Right? Mamavart mamavart.
Yes.
Manushapartha Sarvasha. As you reciprocate with me, I reciprocate with you. Or it's translated as you surrender to me, I reciprocate with them. But anyway, it's basically, it's a reciprocal type thing. If you want to forget God, if you want to be a Mayavadi, sure, Krishna will give you facility to do it. Try it out. Krishna will let you try it out, get smashed, and eventually. Bahunam Janmanamante Gyanavamam Prapajante Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudrulava. After many, many births, he realized, I've gone down the wrong path. Just like the other day, I was with some friends, devotee friends, obviously, and we were driving back from the doctor where I had gotten my vaccination. Actually, Krishna consciousness is a vaccination. But anyway, he was driving me back from the doctor, which I got a vaccination. And I was talking to him, and basically, he went 45 minutes in the wrong direction in the city that he lived in. And I was the one, because I'm Guru Maharaj, I was the one who realized, are you going in the right direction? And he said, no. So he was following the same path, but going in a different direction. Just like the Mayavadis say, everyone follows the same path. And that's what Krishna says too. But some people go the wrong direction on the path. Just like I understand, Pran Govinda, you're in Florida, right? So you're in Florida.
Yeah.
And you're probably near Highway 75, right? Interstate 75?
Yes. Yes.
And the Interstate 75, then we would take 95 to go north from there. Actually, or you could go through Atlanta and take 85. Anyway, so you could go in 85 or 75 in the wrong direction. You can go south and go to Miami, or you can go north and go, where does it go?
Georgia.
Does it go to Georgia. It doesn't go to Tallahassee, does it? No. That's 301.
You can take a left turn. Yes, you could.
Yeah. So anyway, so you could go either north or south, but you'll be on the same road. Right?
Yes.
So, but that's up to you. So Krishna allows us to go on the same road, backwards or forwards. There's like every car has a reverse gear and a forward gear. And if you're real foolish, you put your car in reverse and you smash into someone else.
But Maharaj, if somebody asks you a question, Krishna is very merciful. The essential principle of jiva is the loving service to God. It's
disappears
in Mayavad philosophy. So how it is
that's
merciful?
Right. That's merciful because he is allowing you to test out everything because he is giving you free will. If he didn't give you facility to test out things, how could you say, or how could he say, or how could anyone say that you have free will?
Oh, I see.
You know, because love means free will. If Krishna just allowed, if the only option Krishna gave us was to love him, then we'd have no free will. Then we wouldn't be us, because we are part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna is Swarat. He has a lot of free will. He's independent. So we, as parts and parcels of him, drops of water, like Prabhupada said, of the whole ocean, have the same qualities as Krishna. And if Krishna didn't allow us to have the same qualities, we wouldn't be who we are. We wouldn't be part and parcels of Krishna. We'd be Krishna as a vidya karma. We'd be Krishna as material energy.
Hmm.
Like the material energy doesn't have the option to act any way it wants. Even though sometimes I think my computer acts in the way it wants, it really doesn't. It's just a mechanism. Or my mobile phone. You know, sometimes I'll get angry because my mobile phone doesn't do what I want it to do. Or my Google Home, which starts speaking in the middle of class sometimes without my permission. But it's not, it has no volition. It has no ability to choose to do something. So do you want to be like a mobile phone or a Google Home or a computer or a car? Actually, if I had to be a car, I'd be a Tesla. So anyway, so I had to choose what type of car I would be. I certainly would not be a Volkswagen. Anyway, so getting back to the point, so a machine doesn't have it. So if we want to be a machine, then yes, then we can do whatever Krishna wants whenever he wants. But if we want to be spirit souls, then we have to be given facility to do our thing as spirit souls, free will. And that means facility. Not only the ability, not only the ability to think a certain way or feel a certain way, but the ability to act in a certain way. And that's free will. Okay. We have another question.
So we have to be constantly conscious where we
constantly
are.
Constantly conscious of Krishna, not constantly conscious of our belly buttons or something.
Thank you.
And some people meditate on their belly buttons. I mean, that's a pretty hellish meditation. Like right now, you can't see, but I'm looking at a picture of my deities. And that's my meditation. And Radharani and Krishna are so happy. And that's, you know, that's happiness. Okay. Oh, someone else is sending a chat message. Oh, someone asked, well, from now on, just asking the participant message. This is the last time I'm going to answer something. My workmate asked me a question. What is the fault of the child in the womb when the mother takes poison? The fault of the child in the womb is the child did something in his last life. I don't know exactly what. But the child did something. Because the child had a birth before this, and a birth before that, and a birth before that. So that's called the law of karma. Law of karma means you do something, and you'll get a result.
Maybe not right away. Maybe not instant karma. Maybe not tomorrow. Maybe not next year. Maybe not in this lifetime. But you will get a result sooner or later, good or bad result. And so that child was reaping the result from a past lifetime. Okay. Let me get back to the other devotees here. Hold on a second. So Nikunjavasini, Vasini, you have a question? Ask a question.
Haribol Gurudev, please accept my humble obeisances. Thank you. The purport you just read mentions philosophies of Vaishnava Acharyas. Is this something within our spectrum, the Shuddhadvaita? Yeah, okay. What are they? How do you, can you
that's
elaborate?
A whole other class. That's a whole other class. I can give a whole class tomorrow if you want on that. On what's the difference between Shuddhadvaita, Dvaita-Dvaita, Vishishtadvaita, and Dvaita-Advaita. You know, so that's a whole other class.
Okay, so,
Guru. Yes. Yeah, so it's a little complicated. So, yes. So, but then we have to dedicate a whole class to that if we were going to speak about that. But these are other Vaishnava philosophies, which are very similar. They're all based upon the fact that the soul and God are different. Some of them recognize that the soul and God are absolutely different. And some of them realize that the soul and God have the same nature, so are somewhat different and somewhat connected. So maybe we can get into that tomorrow. That's the those are the four acharyas, sampradaya acharyas philosophies. So, all right, is that the last? Any other questions before we go on with the reading? Actually, no. We have to go into full question and answer right now. So we got up to 101. Let me write this down. So tomorrow is 102. And today we did 97 to 101. I have to keep track. Okay, so now we will go into full questions and answers because it's 10 minutes before the hour. That's when we usually do it. Let me unmute or give everybody permission to unmute themselves. Okay, who is next?
Gurudev, please accept my humble obeisances.
Okay, is that Rakesh? Okay.
Yeah, please, so can you please explain? Yes, Gurudev, please explain, what is Shanta Ras I forgot?
What is Shanta Ras? Is that your question? Shanta means peaceful, just like you ever go to a Hindu ceremony and they say, Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Actually, it's very similar. Wow. I now remember it's very similar to the services I attended when I was young. They didn't say Shanti. They would say, let God give you his most blessed gift, the gift of peace. And that's how they would end every service. That's interesting. So the point is, Shantaras means basically to appreciate the greatness of God. Pure Shantaras would mean appreciating the greatness of God without any service. But if you're going to the spiritual world and you have Shantaras or you're in Shantaras, then you would appreciate the greatness of God but have at least a touch of servitude, like the trees in Goloka Vrindavan. The trees in Goloka Vrindavan, generally they're in Shantaras, but they have some Dasharas too mixed in. Otherwise they wouldn't be there. Why be in Goloka Vrindavan unless you're going to serve the Lord with the shade, serve the Lord with fruit or something like that? So that's Shanta Ras. But pure Shanta, pure peace, devotees don't want. We don't want peace. Of course, we don't like war either. But We don't want peace. We want a challenge, like Prabhupada. In the final years of his pastimes, he said, give me the benediction of dying on the battlefield like a Kshatriya. Not just living in Vrindavan peace. We are not interested in peace. We are interested in fighting for Lord Chaitanya. You can take peace and go to sleep and have some peace. But we are not interested in peace. We're interested in a piece of the action. I don't know if you ever heard that expression, piece of the action. We want the action like that. Just sit there. Just like that. I've often said, told the story how there's one girl comes by our temple here every day and she just sits and does nothing for hours. Of course, fortunately, she's sitting doing nothing for hours while the rest of us are dancing and chanting around her. On Sunday, the devotees come on Sunday and she's there, you know, meditating on something. But actually, we treat her like Tulsi Devi. We dance around her. Yani Pani, Chapapani, Brahmavadi, Kanicha, Mayavadi, Pranashanti, Parikshinath, Pade Pade. So Hrishikesh, you talked to her.
Yeah, I said, what do you meditate on? And she says, I meditate on the Lord. That's a good thing.
Oh, that's good. So maybe she's in pure Shantaras. And I'm committing great offenses against the great devotee of the Lord. Mm-hmm. But actually, I would assume what she means by the Lord is the Lord's effulgence or oneness or something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would assume. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm committing offense, but... Anyway, one day she will get up and start dancing. What's that?
I have a question about Bhagavad Gita. Was there any commentary or our previous acharyas wrote anything about Bhagavad Gita before Prabhupada?
Oh, yeah.
Who was the person?
Madhvacharya wrote a commentary on Bhagavad Gita. Because Bhagavad Gita is within the Mahabharata. Sripad Madhvacharya, and I think Baladeva Vibhushana, many acharyas wrote commentaries on Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada consulted the commentaries on Bhagavad Gita when he actually wrote his Bhagavad Gita. Of course, his spiritual master, and many of the acharyas wrote commentaries. I don't remember the exact names of which commentaries Prabhupada wrote. Read, but I know Baladeva Vibhushana wrote a commentary, and I know that Madhvacharya wrote a commentary on Bhagavad Gita. Madhvacharya wrote his commentary on the whole Mahabharata, which is called the Tat Parita Nirnaya commentary. So, yes, there are commentaries. And Prabhupada makes some reference to the commentaries. So, it is not only Prabhupada who wrote commentaries on Bhagavad Gita. But a lot of Mayavadis wrote commentaries. Like, oh my God. I'm not going to mention any names or else you're all going to hate me. Especially if you're from India. I'll mention one name, Dr. Radhakrishna, because he's not that popular anymore. He wrote a commentary on the Bhagavad Gita. But he's not.
Why did Prabhupada took his book?
What?
Why did Srila Prabhupada took... Initially, he took the book of Radhakrishna, the Dr. Radhakrishna.
Right? Why? Because Dr. Radhakrishna's translations are pretty good, but his commentaries are very bad. And so we didn't have a Bhagavad Gita in the early days. Actually, Prabhupada's original Gita manuscript was stolen. Mm-hmm. And he had to rewrite the whole thing. I mean, it would be amazing to find somehow or other that original Bhagavad Gita manuscript. And here another commentary, Prabhupada's first commentary on the Bhagavad Gita. But anyway, so Prabhupada had no other book. He wanted people to hear the translation. And he said Dr. Radhakrishna's translations are accurate, more or less accurate. But his commentaries are what Prabhupada criticized, not the translations. That's why Prabhupada used it. But Prabhupada Oh, he said so many things about Dr. Radhakrishna, where he was born in his next life. I mean, I can't mention because many of you will hate me if I mention
it. Doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, but so for some of you, he's a hero.
I don't think so.
No?
He's not that respected. Anyway. I mean, people don't even know nowadays who is he.
Oh, really?
I mean, it's like, you know, way past in the history.
Okay, that's good. So he's taken birth as a dog in Sweden. That dog is
That was Nehru, right? I thought that was what? Nehru.
Oh, yeah, maybe that was Nehru. That's right. That's Nehru. Sorry about that. I confused the dogs. So anyway, so...
Same litter.
Anyway, so... Whatever, you know, he's a Mayavadi. And we're not interested. That's right. It was Nehru.
Yeah, he was a womanizer. You know, he was literally like a dog when he lived, actually. So he deserved the birth of a dog. That's for sure.
Anyway, whatever we take birth. So who else has a question?
Gurudev, I have another question.
Let's give someone else.
No, sorry,
let's
you go
give
ahead.
Someone else, Rakesh, let's give someone else an opportunity right now.
Gurudev?
Yeah.
You were mentioning Shantaras has no service, but in the ninth canto, when the nine processes of devotional service are described, the third one is remembering the Lord, and that's considered service. And Prabhupada says in the purport that any one of these nine processes is perfection. So
yes.
Wouldn't Shantaras qualify as being remembering the Lord?
If one's doing it as an act of service, it's a mood. The question is the mood of service. Hmm. Like we have what's his name? Shishupal was remembering the Lord, wasn't he? So yes. What's the difference? Or Kamsa was remembering the Lord, or Hiranyakashipu was remembering the Lord.
I can relate to all of these.
So it's a question of service, identifying yourself as a hearing in a service mood. Hearing, chanting, remembering in a service mood. That's service. But if you just like no service mood, that's pure Shantaras. Many acharyas say that's not bhakti.
So connected to that, Putana came with no service mood, and yet immediately she was given a position as mother, and I guess one would assume that when that position of mother came, she would be rendering service in devotion.
Yes, yes, because she already had a service mood from her past life. Don't you remember that story?
Yeah.
She was Bali Maharaja's sister. And when she saw Lord Vamana, she took on the mood of service as a mother. She was praying, I'd really like to serve him as being his mother. And then when Vamana took everything away from her brother, then she said, well, I may be his mother, but I'm going to kill him. So as a result of that, she had a service attitude. And that's why she became, because of that service attitude, she was unable to go back to the spiritual world.
Right.
It wasn't pure like wanting to kill Krishna. It was mixed. All right. Who else wants to ask a question? Question? No one.
I have one comment, Maharaj.
Okay, Pran Govinda, you have a comment.
Dr. Patel was asking Prabhupada what rasa he is in. I was listening this last month also, I guess.
And Prabhupada, I think he said Shanta Ras Bhakta or something like that.
Yes, but he did not like it. He said, no, Prabhupada, I'm not Santo, I'm higher. So Prabhupada said, I'll tell you later. And then after a few days, there was a lot of orphan children in a very dirty area. So Prabhupada asked him, why don't you and your wife do something that you can dress them up nicely and bring them to our program? This way they can become a good devotee. And then he replied, he said, oh, no, this is not what we like to do. We like to do like philosophizing and thinking, God. Prabhupada said, that's why I told you you're Santa. You're not interested of serving.
That's right. He wasn't interested in serving. Actually, there was more to that story. These children were already coming to the temple and chanting and dancing. And Prabhupada wanted to supply them with food and nice clothes. And he asked Mr. Patel to do that. That was on a morning walk. Yeah, so Shantaras means he wasn't doing anything. Just philosophizing. So some acharyas say pure Shantaras is like impersonalism. Whereas other acharyas, my understanding, other acharyas say there's a beginning of devotional service. My understanding is, unless you have any mixture of amount or small amount of service, then it's not devotional service, because jivara swarupa hoy nitya krishna das. Our eternal swarupa nature is to be a servant of Krishna. And if you're not realizing your nature, your eternal nature, you haven't realized things. So, jivara swarupa hoy nitya
krishna das.
Yeah.
Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Maharaj, that Santa has a two quality, if I recall. It says, Krishna Nishta Trishna Tek Sante Dui Gune. Two quality Santa has is that the firm conviction in surrendering to Krishna, and Trishna Tek, no sense enjoyment, no interest for anything.
Well, that Shanta mixed with a little Dasha. That is what I was talking about.
Okay.
Devotional Shantaras means, like the trees in Vrindavan, that you're actually rendering some service. At least with a service mood, you're remembering Krishna with an appreciative mood. So that without a little bit of service, you're not in your constitutional position. Remember
makes
that.
Makes sense.
If there's no service, because that's our nature, is jivara swarupa hoy nitya krishna das, we are eternally servants of Krishna. That's our swarupa, our form, our nature. So if you don't have a service attitude, even when you're hearing and chanting, you're not ready to realize your nature. Jivara swarupa hoy nitya krishna das. I'm a servant. And the more elevated you become, the more you realize that you're a servant. You know, can you imagine a tree in Goloka Vrindavan that's not going to want to serve Krishna? Just standing there? You know, so the trees are generally in Shantaras, that's true. But they're serving Krishna too. Mm-hmm. They're standing there, but they're giving their fruits, they're giving their shade. They're giving whatever else Krishna wants. That's Shantaras. All right, maybe we'll end now in Shantaras. I have to meditate. I have to meditate in Shantaras right now and realize my Brahman nature. After this, one of my disciples is going to teach me how to do Kundalini Yoga.
Maharaj, I appreciate, thank you so much for this Shantaras. Inclined with the Daisya has to be mixed. It's very nice, fine point.
It has to be. It has to be, because if it's just Shanta without any tinge of devotion, how is it spiritual?
Correct.
Anyway, check the Nectar of Devotion, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it mentions that. Some acharyas say that Shantaras is impersonalism. And others, acharyas, say it's the beginning of devotional service. But it's the beginning of devotional service when there's some devotion there. Some devotion. Not just the greatness of God, but devotion to God. Remembering God in devotion. Appreciation. You know, that's the beginning of devotion, is appreciation. Like if you look at the universal form, you get put into a little bit of Shanta Rasa, or actually, Boya Rasa. Fearfulness. Okay. Oops. Anyway, we have two things in the chat window. People are still taking chat. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Yeah, he wrote a commentary also. Shankaracharya.
I mentioned that. Prabhupada was motivated by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur.
His commentary, especially on Vyavasayadmika Buddhir Ekeha Kurinandana, Bahut Shakta Swanantascha, especially on that, where Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur wrote in his commentary about dedication to the order of the spiritual master. So anyway, Shankaracharya, yeah, he wrote a commentary. I forgot about his commentary. He's trying to avoid that. But his commentary was actually mostly good. It was glorifying. It was a poem, actually. And it was a very metaphorical poem that Shankaracharya glorified the Gita. So yeah, so the Gita's been commented on by Acharya since time immemorial. Okay, on that happy note, we will see everybody tomorrow evening. Tomorrow's here is the 26th. Tomorrow evening, yes, tomorrow evening, same time. Instead of class, we may have an initiation at that time in which you're all invited to participate in. There's two devotees in Australia that are taking initiation. I think it's going to be tomorrow at the same time. So pretty sure it's going to be tomorrow at the same time or the next day. One of the two, I have to check with them. Okay, all glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.